Okay, and then our final song is Let's Roll, a four-sided dive theme by Critical Role. Hello, everyone. You're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM, Conway, Arkansas. We are still KHD 20. So we lost a member of the party. So it's just me and Casey now.
We lost a member of the party to their theater habits.
They're a theater kid through and through.
Yes. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. So it's down to two. But I thought it would be fun. I told Casey and technically Kennedy, if you guys have any questions, you should write them down and ask them to me. Because we're just going to be yapping for the rest of this.
Yeah. So I do have questions prepared for us to jump on into.
Will I have answers?
We shall see. So the first one I want to ask is what are the names and, like, who were each of the main heroes?
Fun. This is something we haven't...
That saved the world!
This is something we haven't really gotten into. We've gotten into some of it. I have them all, though. Let me go up to them. So I will start with the one you know, the one you carry the dagger of, Sorrel Thallon. She is a female half-elven druid. I'm not doing character descriptions.
Yeah,
you
fine.
Can imagine. Sorrel grew up in the forest around the, like, Mykonoid village that you guys went to. She eventually moved on to cities and eventually saving the world. But she was always, like, very nature centered at heart. And then some of the ones that we don't know anything about. We'll start with Dusha the Colossal. Dusha the Colossal was a half-orc paladin. They worshipped the god of war and passion, Arentil. They had a very specific amulet that had a spear and shield carved into it. And when you, like, read things about Dusha, this is the symbol that appears most often when talking about them. They're cool. They're kind of, like, very... They're a paladin, but they're very, like, do what must be done about it. Dushard the Colossal grew up in, like, an orc village, so they had very... If you know anything about orcs in D&D, that's probably where they grew up. If that tells you anything. eventually went on to save the world. The last of the three heroes is Kraemon, Thunderbearer. I'm going to butcher this name, and I think you can know where I'm going.
I think I do know where you're going.
Vath Unigo. Kraemon was a Goliath barbarian. Kennedy is gone. Kennedy cannot hear me butcher the name of a Goliath. So they lived in like a Goliath village. Goliath village is in my head, at least for this one, very like nature earth focused. This one, their village was destroyed, and instead of the nature earth focus, they focused more on rage, thus barbarian. They also have a symbol. It is a shield with a symbol of a boar. When you see this, the boar often has two like bluish stones that act as eyes. You don't really know what they did, but you know they saved the world. So these are the heroes. I hope that we get more into depth with them at some point, but you know, we're getting there. We got some of Sorrel's. And obviously Sorrel's dagger, which we have. So yeah.
Yes, and so we know that all of them kind of disappeared, right? So I was wondering if there's any rumors that people like have of them now.
That's a good question. I mean, probably. Like, there's always conspiracy theorists and there's always myths and legends. Most of the like official documents say they died in some way, but a lot of people like to like make conspiracies that they are all alive in like hidden. Some of them say they were put to sleep for like eternity. Others say they passed on and are like likened to gods in their afterlife. There's a lot of different rumors that are around. You don't really know which is true. Some of them could be. All of them could be fake. So.
It's very cool.
She's taking so many notes, guys.
I am. I'm trying to think of where I can, like, jump off of from some of those rumors. So, was it, like, they saved the world? And as soon as they did, disappeared.
Yes.
Like, did they go and tell anyone what had happened before?
It was them saving... Okay, so the way they saved the world was very public. I imagine it was in, like, the center of a city. It was seen by a lot of people. These three heroes had been adventurers for a while, and they've established, themselves as a trio. So they were pretty well known. They weren't like renowned and like world known, but they were relatively like people knew who they were. So when they saw them, they were like, oh, that's these three people. And then they saw them save the world and then disappear.
Yes. And so what did they save the world from?
Wouldn't you like to know, other boy?
So is it just kind of an understanding of people like, oh, these people saved the world, but like no one actually really knows how or why?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like some people are like, oh, it was a great calamity. Other people were like, it was a corrupt king that was trying to kill everyone. It's a very mixed opinions about what they were doing and how they were saving the world. But the lead up to them, like, disappearing was very like there was much like calamity. There was a lot of like obvious kind of fallout from it, mm-hmm. like before it, leading up to it, and then after it, it was much calmer. Like, it was a very obvious something has changed.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, did any of these people have family? Or is the family now, like, famous?
Ooh, that's a good question. I had not thought about that, like, at all. I imagine they probably did. Family or close friends or, like, people that they knew. I imagine that these people did actually gain quite a bit of wealth. Talking to, like, writers and people who was like, I want to write about this, or I want to share this story. Like, they probably gained a lot of, like, popularity through that. That's a really good question. I hadn't even considered that. This is great for world building.
I'm thinking about what happens in the real world when something happens, and I'm like, that happens.
They definitely got famous at some point. Except the mushroom people for Sorrow.
Aww.
No one knows about the mushroom people. I don't think the mushroom people
want to be known.
That's by design, exactly. Yeah. They're like, I just want to live in my cave.
Okay, and then so now that the world was saved and it's all calm and things, so mm-hmm. has adventuring remained as, like, a career, or is adventuring now viewed as a less serious career, like someone saying, like, kind of nowadays someone being like, oh, I'm gonna be an artist or I'm gonna be a rapper?
Okay, so adventuring is the modern equivalent of someone being like, I'm gonna be a Twitch streamer.
Mm.
Or like a YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, okay, in a million years, you know, like, it's a possibility, but it's not very likely. Like, it's a very rare set of occurrences that would have to happen.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, is there things for people to go out and do adventuring, or has now, in this period of calm, how many years has this been?
Probably a little over 100. Mm-hmm. So it's been about a century.
Have people...
It's been longer than you've been alive, though.
Yes. Yes. So it's been over a century.
I have to specify, because you're an elf.
I know.
It's been probably like 200 years. I'm stretching. I'm making it longer because you're an elf.
Okay. Yes. So with this, like, long period of calm and, like, some people still wanting to be adventurers and things, have people started, like, making bad things happen so that they can save it?
Like, yes.
Okay.
So adventuring is a... kind of, it's like a very common thing, but it's kind of looked down upon in a lot of ways because a lot of people are like, well, if there's no one to save, I'm gonna put people in danger and save them myself mm-hmm. to gain this notoriety. But then this was found out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's turned from something that's inherently good into something that's kind of twisted.
Mm.
So, like, yes, you're adventuring to help people, but you could also put people in harm's way just to help them. In a weird way, a lot of people view adventurers as kind of dangerous because they're like, okay, you're out looking for trouble. I don't want you to cause, like, trouble for me or people I care about just because you want to save someone.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm writing.
Yes. Very good notes are being taken right now.
Yes. Oh, that's cool. So, with that, like, being a thing, kids still, like, look up to mm-hmm. adventurers and be like, I want to be that, and then parents are like, hold
yes.
on a second.
It's very much kids read storybooks that idolize the three heroes, and then parents are like, maybe you shouldn't do that. But again, a lot of, like teenagers, a lot of young adults in their, well, I want to go make something of myself kind of stage do lean on adventuring, at least to get a feel of the outside world at least a little bit.
So this might be a weird question to kind of ask. Are there still, like, wars and things now, though?
I mean, probably. Mm-hmm. We've only been in one place. Mm-hmm. I've only really developed this place. There probably has been, like, political conflicts. But people very much are like, adventurers should not be involved in politics. Mm-hmm. And, like, war. So there probably is like some wars, but it's very leave it to the soldiers.
Yes.
And the people who are actually trained.
Yes. Okay. That's
cool. Presde was probably a soldier because there's, yes, a war.
Yeah. I guess I was more of asking like the nature of the wars, and that answered that question. Okay, now I'm going to ask some questions about, like, our behavior and how you've been handling
it. Okay, awesome.
Is there a specific moment that you can think of where Kennedy and or I did something really unexpected to what you thought we were going to do?
Oh, there's been so many. The one that I'm thinking of right now is when Kennedy asked the names of, like, six horses. Because I brought it up in passing because I was, like, getting into character, and then she was like, what's their names? And I was like, oh, crap. You guys ask a lot of very specific questions.
We do.
And I always have to answer them on the fly.
That has to do with how we are as players as well,
that
though.
That is very much this campaign and our normal campaign,
yes,
is very much... Crap, I didn't think of half of this. Now I have to come up with a, like, plot-relevant, satisfying answer. I don't mind that, though. That's, like, the nature of D&D. If you're not asking questions, then you're not doing it right. You have to make your DM think. Like, come on. There hasn't been a moment where I've been, like, why would you do that? Or, like, I totally didn't expect you to do that. Maybe casting command on the bartender. Keep, like, the innkeeper. Also, the whole thing with the kid.
Yeah.
I was very shocked and very confused and concerned. I think it was funny, though. Like, you guys handled that pretty well. I was a little scared for a minute. But yeah, just nothing in like particular, just general D&D player things.
Yes. Okay, and then so Fireball.
Fireball.
How fleshed out was Fireball's backstory? Because it seemed like there were some real things going on there.
Okay, so... Before I answer this, you're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM, Conway, Arkansas. We are KHD 20. Fireball was so last minute. Yeah. I talked to Landon once, maybe, about, hey, like we talked a little bit, but I was like, okay, like, how are you gonna play this character? Like, backstory stuff. I had no idea what he was going to do with that character. The only two things I knew, his name, and that he only was going to say Fireball. That is pretty much all I knew. I knew a little bit about the burning down the village stuff. Mm-hmm. That is pretty much all I knew going into that. It was kind of scary because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to make this nice and coherent. It was a very fun challenge, and it was very fun because I was learning about Fireball with you guys.
Yes.
And I tried to balance it out so that it didn't seem like that, but I loved Fireball. I think he's a great character. I thought it was awesome. Very last minute.
Yes. Fireball was fun. And so, with, like, the campaign itself, do you have any, like, thoughts or anything that, like, you feel like you could share on, like, the pacing of it? Because we ourselves just realized a bit ago, this is week 7.
Uh-huh.
Which is wild. Technically, session 6, because we had our session 0. But.
So, when, I'm gonna be so real, I was so, like, I was a little off with the pacing at the beginning. I've got it down now. I sat down and I planned the rest of the semester of sessions. Planned. I have I have sticky notes, and they have some ideas. So I have the pacing for the rest of the semester planned. The pacing at the beginning was a little hard to, like, make satisfying. 'Cause 2 hours for a D&D session is, like, nothing. And 2 hours when all three of us are yappers.
Yeah.
Is so difficult to account for. Like,
We are very much so roleplay players.
Yeah. I have to be like, okay, guys, we're going here. I'm skipping every fun thing that could be between point A and point B. We're going straight.
Yes.
From point A to point B, or else we're not getting anywhere. But I will say I'm going to try and wrap up not Presde and Casper's story as a whole, but at least this part of Presde and Casper's story.
This arc,
yes. So I do have the finale planned. I have things leading up to the finale. I think it'll be a very fun... I'm very happy that we only did an hour today. Because I think the stuff that I have planned for next session will make more sense with opening the box being first.
Yes.
Because it's going to be really fast pacing after that box is opened.
Yes.
The pacing is, it's a little difficult to account for pacing. But once you got it down, you got it down.
I will say, as a player, it has felt really good because it has been very, like, direct because it needs to be. But there have still been the opportunity for those moments to play the carnival games, win the pumpkin carving competition, and still, like, have those little quick moments that really make the story feel more like, oh, these are, like, characters doing silly things as well.
It helps that I'm able to be like, okay, what are you guys doing? And explain it in, like, 10 minutes for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It helps that you guys actually, like, have a good grasp of your characters and how you want to play them and how you imagine they would act in situations.
It definitely doesn't feel like it's just plot point to plot point, you know?
Yes. I try and make it at least a little narratively satisfying.
Yes.
With some plot points sprinkled in.
Mm-hmm. I believe you were wanting to talk a little bit about today's, about the errands and such.
Right. I was bringing this up during the break that the original plan for today, I was originally planning it for 2 hours because the 1 hour cut was, like, last minute. So my original plan for today was a whole laundry list of errands that Rudy was gonna send you guys on, and they were gonna get more and more venial and more annoying as you went on. That I was like, okay, I want her to send you guys grocery shopping, and then I want her to make you guys put the things away, and then I could be like, oh, could you, like, bake me something?
No.
And then I was like, oh, go fetch water from the well. Like, the way I was planning it, I was like, okay, I'm gonna make them keep on doing these, like, small, meaningless tasks until time runs out. So as, like, as it goes on, the more descriptive you guys are, the less I will give you. which is kind of evil, I know. You guys escaped that by Kennedy only being here for an hour.
Yes.
But I thought her sending you guys on, like, a wild goose chase of stuff so irrelevant to what you're doing there was hilarious. I was writing that grocery list in the booth before the session in front of them, but I was like, do not look.
I honestly thought we were just going to have, like, a funny, silly encounter or something.
And then I handed it to Kennedy, and Kennedy's like, oh my gosh. And she just starts laughing. I'm going to be so real. I was looking up, what should I buy for groceries on my laptop? Because I was like, what should be on this grocery list? I don't go grocery shopping. I'm a college student. Yes. But it was very fun.
And the grocery list, and I think also the dice that led to Presday's lack in grocery management will be a paperweight for that as well.
Yes.
And that will be posted on the Instagram later.
Oh, yes. I meant to, like, one of the original plans was the interaction with Binley was going to be longer. Mm. Because I thought, I was like, okay, I need a cashier. Who should be the cashier? And then I was like, you know who would be really funny to make the cashier? The kid that you guys just beat up last night.
Mm. We didn't know he was a kid when we beat him up.
Right. And he's not technically a kid. He's like 19.
Yeah.
That's like our age.
That is our age.
Kennedy's 20.
Yeah, she doesn't count. She's not here right now.
And she's a nunk. Anyway, continue.
Yes. I think that really, like, sums up the questions that mm-hmm. I have right now.
Right now, yes.
Yes. Unless if there's anything else you think is important to know currently.
I don't think so. I think we're pretty good. Don't worry. All your questions about the box.
Yes.
Is going to be first thing next session.
Yes.
You shouldn't be scared. Don't worry.
Yeah.
What are some other things we can talk about? For this camp, like, for KHG20, something that we are planning on doing, because, again, we've mentioned we have two D&D campaigns, this one and one that I also DM for a bigger group of friends. We were thinking about switching DMs, like, every semester. So, Casey, do you want to talk about that?
Yes. So, with how things are currently planned, I am set to be the GM, the game master, next semester.
Yes.
I believe Kennedy may be leading us through some other tabletop
yes.
games for fun throughout a couple times. But for continuing the campaign after this arc, I will be leading Sheridan and Kennedy and hopefully some more guests.
Yes, I do hope we can get more guests
yes.
next semester. This semester is gone.
It is
gone. I don't
gone.
Know where it went.
We don't know how this happened.
Yeah.
So if you are listening, you can reach out on our Instagram or our Discord if you would like to be a guest on
yes.
this show.
We love guests.
Yes.
Yeah, and you don't have to already know us. You can just reach out and be like,
yes.
hey. And we can be like, okay, like, meet us somewhere and we can talk about a character. And we'll
yes.
be like, so down for that. One thing that I will say is we probably won't do, like, I don't think Kennedy will be playing Casper next semester, maybe?
I don't believe so. I think
we'll do new characters.
Yes, the current plan from what we had what we had discussed at the beginning of this, and this can all change depending on how everything goes
and depending on our mood
and mood is this will continue in the same world as where we are currently with Casper and Presde, but in a different place and with different characters. So things from this arc of the campaign can affect things that are going to happen in the second arc, because it's still in the same world. However, it will be an entirely, most likely, a different country, and it is definitely going to be different characters.
Yes.
Because obviously Presde can't really be there. I mean, she could, but that's not happening.
It would be a little weird. That means that Casey is going to get to look at my secrets tab next semester.
Yes.
To see all my NPCs. That's a little scary.
And then you won't be allowed the secrets tab.
I won't be allowed the secrets tab. No.
Yes. We have a shared Google document where we plan things like music and our characters and all of that fun things and anything that Sheridan wants us to see.
Mm-hmm.
And things that Sheridan doesn't want us to see where we are not allowed to look at lest we accrue psychic damage.
Yes, yes. I have all of the, like, the outline. It's on this Google Doc, and I'm like, if you look at this, I'm gonna make you roll for psychic damage.
Yes.
And I also have all my NPCs. I'm gonna be so real, I should probably make their descriptions better. Nah, it's fine.
But then, whenever it switches over, I get the secrets tab.
No! You'll get to look at all my notes that are very descriptive and very good.
Yes. Then whenever it switches back over, you'll be able to see whatever I do.
Yeah.
Which, truth be told, I have not done much DMing or GMing in my past. I'm hoping to get a little bit more practice with it over winter break with our personal group and everything. So please bear with me for how this will go. But we have a little bit more time before then. Sheridan
yes.
is still, Sheridan still holds the reins currently.
Yes, yes, I do. It's very fun. It's okay. You don't have to plan very much. I plan like an hour before our sessions start. So this is something we can talk about as well, is
yes.
planning.
Yes.
If you want to DM or GM a game for your friends, it's not hard. I like the planning and stuff. Don't be scared. The hardest part is world building, and that's fun. So do it. Get it over with. And then for your sessions, plan literally for how I plan. I shouldn't do this, but I do. I had 10 bullet points for today. One of them is just Rudy and nothing else.
Just Rudy.
It just says Rudy. I don't plan any NPCs. I don't plan places for this. I plan for our bigger campaign way more. But if you're doing a small thing with like two or three people, which I would recommend doing, don't do an 8-person campaign. I'm talking from experience. It's a lot.
Yes.
But if you're like, I want a GM for my friends and I want to do D&D stuff, it's not hard. You do a lot of coming up with stuff on the spot, which is honestly the best part. Most of what I come up with is on the spot.
Which there is also an aspect of the dice telling
the
story as well.
The dice choose. They choose a lot.
Yes. So, like, you really... That is a fun thing about D&D. You can't plan everything.
Yes. You cannot plan what battles they will win and lose.
No. You can't plan what they're going to be good at or bad at.
You cannot plan what your players are going to do. Because they will do some crazy stuff that you do not expect.
Yes.
But that's the fun. If you just have, like, a place that you want them in, and, like, two characters and, like, two places, just go for it. It's not as scary as it sounds. It's honestly just a lot of coming up with stuff and letting your players have fun. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I feel like in the main campaign that we play, I should not let you guys do.
Oh, yeah.
But we do rule of cool. If it's cool and if you guys want to do it, I'll be like, go for it.
Yes.
Because, like, D&D is supposed to be fun. We have a good time here.
Yes.
We're just... Let the players carry the story and you just narrate and answer their bizarre questions.
Yes. And let the dice decide what's going to be funny.
Yes. Don't come up with your own jokes. Let the dice make the jokes. The dice are great at it.
The dice are very good with it. They were very good with it today.
The low intelligence score for press day on the...
Which, that's also something to be said about not having control over the story. My roles, whenever I was even making this character, weren't necessarily the best. They were okay, which I did also go with the normal monk stats as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, dexterity and constitutions. Well, constitutions, right. Not necessarily. But like... Presday's intelligence, strength, wisdom, and charisma are all only plus ones.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So, she's not great at a lot. She doesn't
That's
have any
crazy.
Negatives.
That's good.
Yes. I believe we had to re-roll during session zero to fix that because...
Yeah.
I don't like
my players having negatives.
Well, because it was a lot. Because it's already not great stats. And having negatives on top of that was not... There is also a certain aspect of you have to recognize when... Because a lot of times it'll be like, well, what would my character do?
Mm-hmm.
There is occasionally where you have to step back and be like, what's best for the story?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's, what did the dice do? And then once again, it's sometimes you have to be like... Is this really what's going to be best for us having a good time and telling a good story?
There's some parts about D&D where you're like, okay, I would do this, but it would mess so much stuff up that the, like... Because it is, in, like, you're telling a story together.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to be like, okay, I know this is what my character would do, but in order to let other characters do... cool stuff or like let other characters shine or let their story be told, you kind of have to do something that you wouldn't normally do.
A way that I think about it with D&D is each character is a part of a story.
Mm-hmm.
The story isn't about the character.
Yes. And the story can be about backstories, but that's not inherently the character.
No.
It's the backstories, and then it creates more story from that.
Yes.
It's... D&D's really cool. It's really fun. If you like writing, you would love it. Because it's all... And you don't get to choose. It's very much, you write some stuff, and then you let it be its own thing. And it's very... It's very satisfying. Like... Creating stuff and then letting people create stuff from what you created.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I love it.
It really is like the ultimate improv.
Yes.
Because you have... D&D is literally a game of random chance and then bouncing off of one another doing improv.
It's all improv, guys.
It is all improv.
You caught us. D&D's just math and improv.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Yes. And it's math that sometimes you don't do very well.
Or it's math that is very low numbers.
And sometimes you still don't do very well.
You guys are listening to KHDX 93.1 FM, Conway, Arkansas. Me and Casey are chatting right now.
Yes.
About everything and anything.
Yes. This is what happens when we're abandoned.
This is what happens when we're unsupervised.
Yes.
We just start rambling.
Yes.
Did you just... Okay. Discord is going crazy. Not KHD20. Our personal Discord. But also, Wait. If you guys are in the KHD20 Discord, which you should be, one of our friends just said, we're being liars. The hardest part of D&D is scheduling.
Oh, that is true.
That is really true.
Which is something that is nice about this, because we have the set time that we have to be here at.
Yeah. I will say it is much easier when it's like, we have to be here these 2 hours every Monday. Scheduling is so much easier when it's set. We never start D&D sessions on time. If it weren't for the scheduled, like, you absolutely have to be here at 6 and you end at 8.
And it's an academic thing. You can't miss it.
It's like, we would be late starting every time.
Yes. That's what happens usually, like, with other things.
If you plan a D&D session, it's always going to start an hour after you wanted it to start.
Yes. Which, that actually just made me realize, if the Discord has any questions for us, they can pop them in there.
Yes. For the people listening that are in the Discord.
Yes.
Which, if you're not in the Discord, is it posted on our Instagram?
We are trying to get the permalink to work before we're able to post it. It will be up soon.
Okay, so we are working on getting the Discord link on our Instagram. But for now, you should follow us.
Yes, and you can also send us things on our Instagram as well.
Yes, you can send us things. We would love it if you send us things. Questions, ideas, just general comments.
Yes.
Things you like, things you don't like. I would love to read them.
I would as well. I'll be getting them first.
Casey would love to read them. She does get them first.
Yes. And our Instagram handle is KHD20_93.1.
Yes.
Yes.
A little light backstory stuff for Presday's character.
Yes.
If you would.
So, let me go ahead and get over to this. So, Presday is 22 years old in human years, so she was actually 205 years old.
Elves, man.
Elves. And so she was raised in the clergy. She has a mom, but they maybe weren't the best, like, off in relationship, but she really grew up in the church, and she was very connected to it, and very connected to self in the way that, monks are connected to ki.
Cool.
It was not a monastery type of, raising, where monks are usually produced from, but it was still a very, solitude, quiet, connection focus of how Presday let herself be raised.
Right.
And then as she grew, 22 is obviously quite young. However, she's elf. She's a wood elf.
Mm-hmm.
So she did not wish to be a soldier, really, in the first place. However, she was a soldier in a war. She's very nature-based.
Mm-hmm.
Even still, even though she is a monk.
Yeah.
She is still very connection to nature and the earth. So, being a soldier, the barracks and a troop isn't exactly where you would expect to find her, but that is where she ended up.
Interesting, interesting.
And now, at only 22, she's no longer in the barracks or with the troop.
Mm-hmm.
And she is now an adventurer away from their small town that they grew up.
Yes. That's very interesting.
So how that happened, we may find out later.
We may. I may have some... I know we have only two sessions left, but...
Yes. And even if we just come back to this or, like, have a little...
Yeah. Oh, no, don't worry. I have plans.
Okay.
I'm so excited, guys. And I love Prez Day. Even though I couldn't remember her name for the longest time. She's a very cool character. I feel like she balances Casper really well.
Which, I feel like we can talk about that a little bit. We really didn't know what the dynamic of our characters were going to be until episode
yes.
one. So, you can kind of feel how we do... If you go and listen back to session one, you can kind of hear how we start with our base level of what mm-hmm. we created these characters as, and then the levels kind of shift in what our characters' personalities are to work with each other better. So Prez Day was at first a lot more like monk-esque.
Yeah.
And then turned a lot more kind of type A.
Yes.
A lot more, oh, Casper, not that, a little more teacher-esque.
Yes.
And Casper turned a little more Casper.
I love how that dynamic worked out.
Yes.
Because especially when we were first starting, it definitely felt like two people meeting and then learning how to interact with each other.
Yes.
Like the way it worked was so smooth and I love it.
Yes. And it did feel pretty reminiscent to how their relationship may have developed naturally.
Yes.
Having like grown up around each other but not really mm-hmm. with each other.
I don't know. I just love it. I love the dynamic between mm-hmm. these two characters.
Also, to answer a question on our Discord that says, and why did we beat up the cashier last session? He's my favorite NPC in parentheses right now. He came to beat us up first.
Hey, I think you should listen to the session when we post yes. it instead.
And things will be posted sooner rather than later. For, as y'all have probably been able to tell, audio itself has been a really big part of this campaign and in this show. Like, we have our background music. Mm-hmm. We have all of us talking the whole time. And the levels have definitely been interesting to work with. I've been kind of the main person to be doing that currently.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has been a little bit of having to go back in with Audacity and try to use those tools
yes.
to fix it. So things will start getting better because levels have definitely evened out a lot
yeah,
more as we've
I
been
feel
going.
Like we... For your part, you're doing a great job at learning how to, like, level the audio and stuff.
Thank you. I do. We do now have in our notes sound
yeah.
levels.
Yes.
And I am very excited to see how y'all do and to let y'all take over the soundboard and getting everything prepped before we go
yes.
and editing and exporting and file management.
Because right now the way we're, like, divvying out the work is
yes.
Casey's doing, like, the sound and making sure everything's recorded. She's by the sound box and the computer.
Yes.
If you've ever been in the booth.
Booth?
Booth.
Yeah.
I forgot the word for booth. So she's over there, like, doing her computer stuff. I'm DMing and Casper's here.
But actually,
Kennedy does a lot. Kennedy
yeah.
does a lot too.
Kennedy
I just think
makes
it's really
the thumbnails
funny.
And things
Kennedy,
for yes.
Kennedy does a lot of design for us. I
yes.
just think it was really funny to say Casper's just here.
Yeah.
We got another question, guys. What was your favorite thing that's happened in the past session so far?
Ooh, that's good. I'm trying to think of a specific thing. Honestly, this isn't something that even happened with Resde, but the fireball moment of him leaning in and whispering, "No one will ever believe you,"
that was just so
such
funny.
A fun moment to have.
Like, that was so, like,
it's just
whoa.
Kind of a standout moment where it's like, yeah, that pops into your brain.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yes.
My favorite is the running gag of Casper not knowing trees.
Yes.
Which isn't a moment, per se, or, like, a specific thing. I just love that it's being kept up so far.
Yes, it's so good.
Because it's like, you won't let these trees, like, die, man. You just gotta keep trying, I promise.
Yes.
You'll get there eventually.
Yes.
It's so funny. The trees, man.
The trees.
He can't name the trees right.
No.
But again, all of the fireball episode, hilarious.
That was so great. And it makes me so excited to get more guests on as we can.
We need more guests.
Yes.
Again, if you're interested in being a guest on KHG20, contact us.
Let us know. Let us know.
Eventually on the Discord, something I plan to do is like a form that you can fill out saying, hey, I want to be a guest. We'll get there.
Yes.
Okay. One last question before we leave you guys for the night.
Yes.
Any scary combat moments?
Any scary combat moments?
I've been pretty nice with combat.
You have been. Honestly, I think the most, this isn't necessarily shocking, or this isn't necessarily scary, but it was shocking, was the moment with the, and this was a recent one, but the moment with the Dagger of Sorrel. Because I truly wasn't expecting it to be like that, like kind of stealing someone's life force. And that wasn't something scary to, well, it probably was scary to Presde. It wasn't scary like, oh no, we're going to lose, or oh, we're getting really hurt or anything.
Yeah.
But it was something of, whoa, this power is like here. And it's something that Presde hasn't, like, really worked with before. And it's something that is, like, this exists in this world.
Yeah, that was really cool. I gave you that dagger, and then I was like, okay, now I have to do something cool with it. And I was like, what can I do with a dagger that's cool and fun? And, you know, I thought it was pretty fun. And Presde doesn't really have magic.
No.
So I was like, Presley's gonna have a magic item now.
And that was very nice.
Yes, but I loved the way it happened, like, very unexpectedly.
Yes.
I felt fit a lot. I think that's all our time for today.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the session and bearing with us as we yapped for the last hour.
Yes.
I hope you guys enjoyed. We will be back next week.
Yes.
We will be here. I know it's Thanksgiving break. We will be here.
We will be here.
For our second to last session of the semester.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
But yeah. All right. Bye, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.